All right, so this is Bio 231 hybrid class. And it's October 14th. We're talking about the brain. Convolutions, gyri, sulci, things like that, fissures, kind of in the middle of the cerebrum. And that's kind of a pun because right in the middle of the cerebrum, here is the central sulcus. Anterior to the central sulcus is frontal lobe. Posterior to it is the parietal lobe. All right, and you should notice that there is a gyrus that parallels that central sulcus on either side, anterior side and posterior side. The one on the anterior side in the frontal lobe is called the precentral gyrus. Precentral, what does that mean? It's in front of the central sulcus, right? So that kind of makes sense. And then the gyrus that's posterior to the central sulcus is the postcentral gyrus. And you're going to become familiar with these two gyri because they're so important. Okay? All right, so what else do I want to tell you? On your model, okay, some it's really easy to see, others a little bit more difficult. Okay? You know, it might be this one right here. Might be this one right here. Right here.
The sulcus would be...
The central sulcus?
The pre...
It would be right here.
The one behind.
And then the pre-gyrus.
Okay, but now that one I can see from here.
Yeah, they have the
okay.
One.
So are these the gyruses?
Yeah, so these are the gyruses. So here's the pre-central, here's the post-central gyrus.
So it's almost like half.
It's almost in half. Try to pick the major one out.
See, I would have picked this one.
Okay, so I understand. It could be, yeah. But I like that one better.
Which one?
I like this one here. Yeah.
This one?
Yes, I like that one right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Shut up, you guys. All right, so that's some of the major landmarks on the cerebrum. And now you saw the cerebellum. Let me tell you about some of the functions of these lobes. The frontal lobe is where you initiate motor actions. That's where you control your skeletal muscles from. All right? And that's really easy to remember because where do you have the motor in your car? In the front. Most people have it in the front. Unless you happen to have a car that has a motor right in the middle. Anybody have a motor right in the middle? No? That's too bad. Some have it in the back, but the ones that have it right in the middle, those are like $200,000, $300,000 cars, like Lamborghinis and things like that. Probably nobody has a car like that. They're really handy because if you start spinning, if you have the big center of mass right in the middle of the car, how does the car spin? It spins in a straight line so you don't crash. But if you have a motor at one end and it spins, it does what? It goes wild. It crashes into something. Okay. That doesn't really have much to do with the brain. Okay, but anyway, that should help you remember that motor is in what? The frontal lobe. And guess what gyrus is most responsible for initiating voluntary motion? It's the precentral gyrus. All right. So if that part of the brain is damaged, guess what you lose? You lose control of your body, you can't move. Or a certain part of your body you can't move. If you have a stroke in that area, then you lose motor control. Maybe it affects your swallowing. Maybe it affects your arm. Maybe it affects your speech or whatever, depending on exactly what part of the precentral gyrus is affected and dies. All right, so that's why that's so important. All right, so that's motor controlling motion in your body. The postcentral gyrus is important for sensation on the surface of your body. So we call that the primary somatosensation cortex. If that part of the brain dies, then you lose feeling in that part of your body, however it maps out. And I'll show you how it maps out in a little bit. So premotor cortex is the precentral gyrus, and the postcentral is for sensation. You have other sensations besides touch and vibration and temperature. You have vision. And there's a whole lobe of the brain dedicated to vision, and that is the occipital lobe. Okay, so if you have a stroke in that part of the body and it dies, guess what? Then you can't appreciate anything that is sent to the brain from your eyes. So you're blind in that case. The temporal lobe is responsible for hearing. So there are like some little pianos right inside the temporal lobes. They're just laid out like a piano. So one part is responsible for low frequency, another part for mid-range frequencies, and another part for high frequencies. Hey, Dr. Sanchez. I thought you were going to set up the practicum. We couldn't take the practicum today. Kidding you. Okay.
Yeah, good try. Okay, cool. So back to...
Yeah, I put it on carts.
Oh, okay.
And so the instructor tonight may be
not gonna use
probably not going to set it up.
Yep, so don't even bother setting it back up.
Okay, right. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah.
And all we need is some of the other muscle ones, but they're already in carts back there. So we're good.
All right.
All right.
All we got to do is grade them. Okay. Thank you so much for checking in. Okay, yeah, that's what we should do.
Yeah.
We'll just switch papers and you can grade each other's tests. Yeah. Okay, so that's the cerebrum, the functions of the cerebrum, at least on the surface. So on the surface, that's what we call the cerebral cortex. So remember, the most superficial part of any organ is called the cortex. The deeper parts are what we call the medulla. All right, so let's think of some other parts of the brain. If you turn your brain over and look at this little part that's sticking down right here, this is the spinal cord. And the central nervous system is made up of the brain and the spinal cord. Those are the two parts of the central nervous system. The spinal cord automatically becomes the brain once it goes through the occipital bone. What do we call that hole in the occipital bone? Ah, that's from two practicums ago. That's not fair, is it? But this class is sort of cumulative. Yeah, a hole in a bone is a foramen. We're hot. Foramen magnum. That's right. That's the foramen magnum. Right? So as the spinal cord goes through this foramen magnum, it now becomes part of the brain. And the most inferior part of the brain, and you'll have to develop a little bit of an eye for it, there's a bulge right here, and it bulges laterally as well. That's called the medulla oblongata. Medulla oblongata. So you got to know how to spell that. Yeah, this little bulge right here. Okay, and I see another bulge above it. I'll say something about that. So the medulla oblongata, because it's the lowest part of the brain, in an evolutionary sense, that's the oldest part of the brain. All right, so you don't think with your medulla oblongata, but it controls a number of functions in your body that even some really primitive, in terms of evolution, animals have to take care of, like... What does a reptile have to do, just like you? It's got to breathe, okay? It has a heart. It's got to regulate its heart, right? It's got to regulate its temperature. So the medulla oblongata is important for regulating blood pressure, regulating your heart, regulating your breathing. Some very, very primitive kinds of functions, but you have to have that, right, even for humans. That's what happens in the medulla. The pons works with the medulla. Again, it's a very old part of the brain, and it has a couple functions. It helps regulate breathing as well, but it also sends signals into the cerebellum. Right? The cerebellum is for coordinating your muscle movements so that you have nice fluid motion and that you don't fall over. Right? You can catch yourself as you start to fall. And signals have to go from the medulla and the pons into the cerebellum from the rest of your body. And there's a bridge. There are certain bridges that go from the pons into the cerebellum. And a general name for a bridge that connects major parts of the brain are called peduncles. I know, that's kind of funny. I'm glad you're still around. So here is, right, so here is the medulla. Here's the pons. Here's the cerebellum, and notice how the pons kind of wraps around posteriorly. These bridges right here that attach to the cerebellum, those are called peduncles, and since they're attached to the cerebellum, they're called the cerebellar peduncles. I don't know the origin of peduncle. Anybody know the origin of peduncle? Is it Greek? I don't know. Is it Latin? Does it ring any kind of Latin meaning? I don't know, probably, maybe Greek. Certainly sounds Greek. Okay. So it's a major bridge between different parts of the brain. the medulla oblongata and the pons, right here, make up something called the brain stem. The brain stems from these very low sections of the brain, so we call that the brain stem. Brain stem, medulla oblongata, and pons. All right, so that's one of the functions of the pons. It acts as a relay station for signals in the spinal cord finding their way into the cerebellum. So what does it mean to relay something? Yeah, just pass along information. So maybe I lost my voice and I could talk only very, very softly, so only the people in the front row could hear what I was saying. But the rest of you would want to hear it too, so what would the students in the first row do? They tell the people back there, they would relay the information, right? So it stops and then it goes to the next listener. That's what a relay does. Okay, that's part of the pons. Part of the brain stem. And we got the cerebellum. All right, so can you find that pons on your model and the medulla? That's really important that you can find those things. Yeah.
From
spinal cord into the cerebellum.
So
signals coming from muscles come up the spinal cord, stop in the pons, and then go into the cerebellum. And the cerebellum figures out if the muscle tension is proper. Yeah, maybe a particular muscle needs more tension. Like you bump into somebody and they almost knock you over, the cerebellum goes, oh, the muscle tension is all wrong, and then readjusts to catch your body before you fall over.
So this is the pons?
This is the pons right here.
And the medulla?
Medulla right here.
It's here.
And spinal cord is down here.
Cerebellum.
So the message comes up from the body.
Into the pons?
Here.
Oh yeah, so let's go over how the message comes from muscles. Up the spinal cord, into the pons. But the cerebellum is going to want to check and see if those signals are appropriate and make adjustments if you're out of balance before you fall down. How do signals get from the pons into the cerebellum? Via what? The cerebellar peduncles. Yeah, and there's three. I don't know if it's so important for you to know. Yeah, the middle superior. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's so important that you know all those, but you should at least know that there's a connection. Because there's a couple other peduncles that I want you to know as well, okay, that we're going to get to. All right, so what was I going to say next? Okay, so medulla and pons make up the brain stem. Then on top of the brain stem is the midbrain. And if you take your brains and split them in half, you can see the midbrain. All right, let me see where a good figure of the midbrain is right here. This might be pretty good. See, here you see the spinal cord, medulla, pons. Here you can see the peduncles right here. And then above, these are the cerebellar peduncles. And then above right here, this is the midbrain. The midbrain has got a couple bumps on it. And these bumps are posterior. So I want you to find those bumps. But you know what? I'm going to find even a better picture of those little bumps right there. Oh yeah, here, here, and here. How many little bulges do you see right here?
Four.
There are four. That's what we call the corpora quadrigemina. Corpora means body. Quadrigemina means four of them. Okay, corpora quadrigemina. These are really important for automatically controlling some parts of our body. The inferior two are what we call the inferior colliculi. Right, colliculi is plural, colliculus is singular. So you have a right and left colliculus making up the two inferior colliculi. They're important for localizing sound. They're important for sound reflexes. So when I say localize, what the heck does that mean when you localize something? You can tell where it's coming from. Okay, you can tell if it's coming from the right, the left, above you, in front of you, or in back of you. All right. So I tell you what, let's do a little experiment. Okay, the experiment is close your eyes, but don't fall asleep. Okay, close your eyes and only use your ears. And I'm going to open. Ben, close your eyes. All right, so you're going to tell me what door I open or close. Ah, you're watching. That's no fair, because I want you just to use your ears. Use your inferior colliculi, right? All right, so there's a door in the back of the room. There's a door in the front of the room. I'm going to close one. So what door opened and closed? The front of the room or the back of the room? The front of the room. So you just used your inferior colliculi to tell me that. All right, so that's what the job of those are. Okay. Because sound arrives at your two ears at a different time. So on me, this is my left ear. When that door closed, it reached my left ear before my right ear. And the inferior colliculus knows that, so it goes, oh, well, the sound is coming from over in this direction. Because you heard it first with your left ear. See how easy that is? Right. Okay, with that inferior colliculus. The superior colliculus, this is still part of the midbrain, is important for visual reflexes. Not auditory reflexes, but visual reflexes. And it allows you to fixate on an object, and more importantly, track it as it's moving around in space. And that's really important for any kind of animal to see something and know if it's coming at you fast or it's running away from you, say if you want to catch it for food or whatever. You should be able to track objects. Okay, that's also part of the midbrain. Okay. So go ahead and see if you can find these objects. Yeah, it's probably this one here and this one here. That's a little flaky. This model's a little flaky.
Yeah.
This one is going to be a lot better. Right, inferior colliculus, superior colliculus. Okay, so inferior colliculus, superior colliculus.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's part of the midbrain. Another part of the midbrain. In order for you to have the perception around you, in order for you to have consciousness, the part of the brain that has to become activated is the cerebral cortex, right? The surface of the brain. That's where your consciousness resides. And sensory signals from the spinal cord have to go up to the cerebrum, and the way they get there is through this other part of the midbrain. What did we call the connection between the pons and the cerebellum? Peduncle. Peduncle. Cerebellar peduncle. This one right here is the same thing, except it's connecting the brain stem with the cerebrum, so this is what we call the cerebral peduncles. Cerebral peduncle. So this carries sensory information up to the brain, motor information down to the spinal cord. So that's the whole midbrain. So can you show me where the cerebral peduncle is? It's on the opposite side from the corpora quadrigemina. So this whole structure here, that's a cerebral peduncle. Right here. Just right above the pons. Right in here. Cerebral peduncle. Right here. Cerebral peduncle. That's what connects your brain stem and spinal cord to the cerebrum. Cerebral peduncle.
And
the cerebellar peduncles are between the pons and the cerebellum, but they wrap around laterally, not right on midline.
We just got a good brain.
Nice.
Okay.
So here we have the quadrigemina, inferior colliculus, superior colliculus. Yeah, inferior, superior. And then right here, this is the cerebral peduncle, taking signals from the spinal cord and brainstem up into the cerebrum. Right here. This is the cerebral peduncle. Right across from the corpora quadrigemina.
Oh, okay. And the cerebellar
peduncles are over here. See, there's some that go this way. They go wrap around this way, and then there's some that wrap around that way.
Also, it's these.
That's the pons.
But the little ridges, is that the peduncles?
No, the peduncles are the bridges between the pons and the cerebellum. So they are wrapping around.
Oh, so you don't have like a good...
Yeah, I do. Here's a good example of the cerebellar peduncles. Okay. Oh yeah, I got the wrong side. Thank you. Okay. So here's the pons, and it wraps around and sends signals into the cerebellum, which is right here. So this is a cerebellar peduncle, and here. And this is the other end of the cerebellar peduncle. It's taking nerves into the cerebellum. Right through here.
Okay.
So put that together. And that there, probably here. Probably it's got to fit in there someplace.
Cerebellar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, nice. Cerebellar peduncle.
That
yeah.
Thing?
Yeah. And it matches up over here. That's a cerebellar peduncle. And it's coming from the pons.
Oh, okay, so the message comes from here and goes.
It goes in and wraps around to the back.
And then the other way goes to the peduncle.
And the cerebral peduncle, it just is taking signals up for sensory, you're taking signals down for motor signals. Yeah, the cerebral cortex goes down.
So it goes up from spinal cord up, and then down from midbrain.
Yeah, through the peduncles, cerebral peduncles. What would you like to see? Ah, okay. So a couple different kinds of peduncles. We have the cerebral peduncles. The cerebral peduncle is part of the midbrain, and it is right here. It's anterior to the corpora quadrigemina. See these little bumps right here? These are for the hearing reflexes and vision reflexes, and anterior to it. Yeah, these are these little bumps right here. And here is the cerebral peduncle. The cerebellar peduncles, I can't show you very well, but see how the pons kind of wraps around into the cerebellum? So that's the cerebellar peduncle right there. If we were to saw it open, we would see it. Okay. All right. Let's look at some more structures. Take your brain apart. And let's look at a nice sagittal section. Where's a nice sagittal section of a brain? Holy cow. It's right here. It's right here. Okay. Here it is. All right, so see if you can find these structures on your model. We got spinal cord. Okay? And then as it goes through the foramen magnum, it becomes the? It becomes the brain. And then in particular, the general name for that part of the brain is brain stem. But it's got a specific name too. The very first part is the medulla oblongata. So you are all right. Right? So it is the brain. It's the brain stem. In particular, the medulla. And then superior to the medulla is the pons. And the pons wraps around. It's a relay center for sending signals to the cerebellum. And it gets in there via the peduncles, the cerebellar peduncles. But signals also can come from the spinal cord and make their way to the cerebrum, which is this part, the biggest part of the brain. But to get from the brain stem up to the cerebrum, it's got to go into the cerebral peduncles. And so a peduncle is just a bridge. It's a big, major bridge connecting different parts of the brain. Okay. All right, so just like signals have to stop and be relayed by the pons to get into the cerebellum, other signals that go to the cerebral cortex have to stop and be relayed to the proper location in the cerebrum as well. And the part of the brain that does that is the thalamus. Okay, the thalamus. And the thalamus kind of looks like a walnut right smack in the middle of the brain. And it is right where my cursor is, actually. See this thing? Right here, maybe it looks like a little egg. Right, that's the thalamus. So the thalamus is another relay station for signals going to a particular part of the brain. So smell would go to the smell part of the brain. Hearing would go to the temporal lobe. Okay, vision go to the occipital lobe. So that's the job of the thalamus. some of you on your models have this little thing right here. This is called the interthalamic adhesion. The thalamus has two lobes with a space between it, but that interthalamic adhesion connects the two, the right and left sides of the thalamus, so it can communicate with each other. So some of you have a little part of the thalamus sticking out and it's colored. Yeah, that little dot right there. Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's how the right and left parts of the thalamus communicate with each other. So that's the thalamus, and here's the interthalamic adhesion. This is how the right and left thalamus...
So is it all this?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's not like super little. Okay.
It's not super little. Okay. Now, there's something, a very important structure below the thalamus.
Oh, my gosh.
Below the thalamus. And it's nicely named. It's called, what do you call the layer of tissue below the dermis? Below the dermis. The hypodermis. All right, so the tissue below the thalamus is called the hypothalamus. Right. And the hypothalamus is super important because have you ever been dehydrated and you felt a sense of thirst? Yeah. So the hypothalamus helps regulate water balance in your body. The hypothalamus helps regulate body temperature. Okay? And the hypothalamus also helps regulate the pituitary gland. So let me show you where the hypothalamus is. I'm not sure you see it on here. All right, so we got what? Spinal cord, medulla, pons, cerebral peduncle. Here's the thalamus. Here's the margin of the thalamus. And below the thalamus right here is the hypothalamus. And what's even below the hypothalamus? The pituitary gland. And the, remember, the pituitary gland sits in that sella turcica of the sphenoid bone. The pituitary gland is the master control gland for a number of endocrine glands in your body, like your thyroid gland and your adrenal glands and ovaries and testes. Well, some people ovaries, some people testes, right? Okay, so the pituitary gland is the master endocrine control, and it's controlled by the hypothalamus. And they're connected to each other. Do you see them connected to each other? All right, and I think you, I don't know if this is on your lab manual or not. Here is, sometimes we call that the pituitary stalk. Sometimes we call it the infundibulum. Infundibulum is the proper name. It's not there, so you don't have to know it, but there are nerves that go through here. There are blood vessels that allow the hypothalamus to control the pituitary. All right, so what did I call something that connects major parts of the brain? A peduncle. That looks like a peduncle to me, except what? A big one or a tiny one? A teeny tiny one. So I wish they would call it a pedunculito, right, or chiquita peduncle, because it's really tiny, tiny, tiny. All right, that's the infundibulum. Okay. That's not a peduncle. That's the infundibulum. But it connects the hypothalamus with the pituitary, and that connection has really important functional significance. All right. All right, so we separated our brain. All right, we saw right hemisphere and left hemisphere. There's a huge, deep separation between the right and left cerebral hemispheres. Anybody remember what that's called? If you put your hemispheres together, you see that big split between them? That's the longitudinal fissure. All right. Different sides of the brain have different functions. So, for instance, usually the left side of the brain controls the right side. The right side of the brain controls the left side of your body. But you also have other interesting functional centers, like your language skills are on one side of the brain, your mathematical skills are on the other, your visual skills are on one side and mathematical skills on the other. So the two sides of your brain have to communicate with each other. But how do they if they're separated by this big longitudinal fissure? There's got to be neurons that go from one side to the other, and you can see that if you look all the way down at the bottom of the longitudinal fissure, there's something that looks like an upside down C. It's called the corpus callosum. And though the corpus callosum carries fibers that move from one hemisphere over to the other, we call those commissural tracts. So at this level right here, this is a connection between the right and left hemispheres. All right, corpus callosum. Can you see the corpus callosum? Open up, split your brains open. And you see the corpus callosum right there. That's nice. So that's how signals get from one side of the brain to the other. And if there's damage to the corpus callosum, you can get all kinds of really strange kinds of phenomena happening in people because information in one side of their brain is not being shared with the other. For instance, you might show somebody a number 1, and you could ask them, what number do you see, and what will they tell you? It's a number 1. And then you could show them a big number 3 and show them, and they're going to say, oh, well, that's a number 3. All right, that will go to one side of the brain, but the mathematical abilities are on the other side, and that information can't get over there. So when you ask them, add those two numbers together, they're going to say, well, I don't know. But what would be the correct answer? It'd be 1 and 3. 1 plus 3 would be 4. Okay. All right, but if there's a lesion in the corpus callosum, the 1 and 3 doesn't get transferred over to where the mathematical ability is, and a person won't be able to tell you what the result of that little operation is, right? Addition. Okay. So that's the job of the corpus callosum. All right, there are some other ways to get from one side of the brain to the other. That's the fornix right here. All right, so we got fornix, we got corpus callosum, fornix. And then there's like a little curtain between the corpus callosum and the fornix. That is called the septum pellucidum. And when we do our brain dissection, you're going to rip that open. Actually, it's going to be very easy to separate the septum pellucidum. And the brain is going to open up. There's a big cave inside the brain. Right? The big caves inside the brain are called ventricles. Any big space inside of an organ is called a ventricle. There are spaces inside the heart. Guess we call those spaces inside the heart?
Left ventricle.
Yeah, you got left ventricle and right ventricle inside the heart too. Right? So there are some ventricles inside the brain that we're going to look at. We're going to take a break though, I think, really soon. Okay. What else do I want to say? Well, we labeled everything here pretty well. Transverse, the central sulcus. Okay. Here's hypothalamus. Here's the infundibulum. And if you look behind the infundibulum, you might find a little bump, kind of close to the cerebral peduncle. This is what we call the mammillary body. That's important for incorporating memories so that you have memory, long-term memory. But if you go anterior to where the pituitary is, this is the optic chiasma. All right, the optic chiasma has optic nerves going through it. And what did we say about what you feel on the right side of your body? What part of the brain does it go to? It's got to cross over. Same thing for visual information. It's things that you see in the right side of your body end up on the left side of your brain. Things that you see on the left end up on the right side of your brain. They cross over right at the optic chiasma. Chiasma means cross or crossing over. So the best way to see that on your brain right here is to put the halves together, okay, and you can see what? A nice X right there. That's the optic chiasma. Anterior to the chiasma is the optic nerve, and as it crosses over, it enters the brain. Those things then we call tracts, optic tracts. So that's the optic chiasma right there, and I see the little mammillary bodies right there. Right, I see nice mammillary bodies right there, optic chiasma.
We're definitely going to get a video on
that. Yeah. Yeah, so you found that helpful?
Yeah.
The videos?
That.
I had a lot of, oh, there's a nice pituitary on yours, yeah, and the infundibulum right there. I had a lot of students that said, well, they could hear it but not see it, or they could see it and not hear it. So don't forget, recommend that they just download DVIX if you can, and or update your media player somehow, and you should be able to get both tracks going
so
at the same time.
That little thing is the infundibulum?
So the little wire is the infundibulum.
Oh.
These little bumps are the mammillary bodies. And then I see the optic chiasm. And then one last thing before we take a break. Okay. And that is, I see these structures on the inferior surface of the frontal lobes that are poking out, okay, kind of like right above your nose. Those are what we call the olfactory bulbs. What's the sense of olfaction? It's smell. So I don't have a picture of it on this slide, but on your models you see the olfactory bulbs very, very nicely. That's important for smell. So can you show me olfactory bulb right there? Right behind your fingers. Yes, yes. That's it. The tip is the bulb, and then the olfactory tract is leading into the brain. All right, so I think we should probably take a little bit of a break. But if you want to quiz each other on some of those structures in your lab manual, that would be really good. Okay, maybe before you take a break or after you take a break.